You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
We are slowly easing our way back into interviews, and it's a lot of fun to get the chance and the opportunity to do this. And to be honest, as we're approaching our interviews, in light of what's going on in the world, it actually has changed the approach that we're actually taking and the types of content that we're fostering. And one of the things that we're looking at these interviews right now, we're looking at it through the lens of resilience, through the art of the pivot, and through what we believe will best serve our audience right now. And in many cases, maybe that involves retraining, reskilling, retooling. And I think this episode is going to provide all of that and more. We're going to be speaking with Ashley Barnett. She is actually our blog editor-in-chief. She's been with us since 2018, but her story as effectively a self-taught content marketer goes back to 2005. And Brad, I mean, there's so much here.
Yeah, there's an incredible amount here. I've known Ashley for a number of years now. She's one of the original FinConners. I think there's yes. I think there's about 20 of them that have gone to every single FinCon, and it gets whittled down every single year. But she is one of the originals, and she's been in this personal finance world at least for 12 plus years. She had a mom blog before that, and her story has a little bit of everything. And as many conversations as I've had with her, I didn't realize the full extent of how incredible this was. I mean, as you'll hear, her and her husband not only survived the Great Recession, but thrived by creating a temp agency that they started themselves of people who were laid off of her husband's job. I mean, talk about a pivot. Talk about resilience. I mean, that is just such a next level move. I was blown away. So Ashley, with that, welcome to the Choose FI podcast. You've been our long standing blog editor. You have been the blog, but welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Excited to be here. Finally, 2 years.
It's overdue. Wow. But to be fair, I did ask you a long time ago and you said, no way, I'm not coming on the show. All right. So actually, yeah, let's just start with the story that Brad brought up there, because that's pretty incredible. You have this 2008 recession. And I mean, a lot of people are dealing with jobs being ripped away. It sounds like in the case that Brad was describing, your husband's company had 90% of the employees were laid off. Like, talk us through what was going on behind the scenes there and how you pivoted.
Yeah. So my husband's job, 90% sounds like a lot, but there were only about 8 guys. So there, it went down to, ended up being 3 guys stayed and didn't get laid off. And we were on the phone. I remember it so clearly. I was in Costco. My son was 3 years old. He's sitting in the basket in the cart in front of me. And my husband calls and he says, you know, his boss told him to prepare for layoffs. And he was, you know, we were freaked out. He was our only income, W-2 income. I had no income. And he's like, they're being so stupid. There's so much work coming, but just because there's no work like today, they're going to lay off all these guys. And then he's like, then they're going to hire a temps and it's going to be a pain. And I would just rather just work alone than have to work with a bunch of guys that don't know what they're doing. And he was just complaining. And I said, as a joke, I said, we should start our own company. And we were like, ha, 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 that's hilarious. And we went about our day. And he came home from work that night. I was cooking spaghetti. I remember it perfectly clear. And he walks in the door and we just like make eye contact. And it was like one of those married conversations through your eyes thing. Like we just looked at each other and we were like, yep, we're doing this. So I had never had a business. I didn't know anything about hiring W-2 employees or anything like that. But I just went online and did all the research I could find on what that meant to start like a real company in Arizona. And it didn't seem anything that we couldn't do. So we just went ahead, started. He contacted his people through his company and said, we're going to hire all of your guys. You know, if you ever want to see them again, you're going to have to use us. So they contracted to temp back their own employees. And it worked really well for everybody because the guys kind of got to keep their jobs in some capacity. It was just part-time, just as needed, as the company needed them. My husband ended up keeping his job, but he got to work with guys that knew what they were doing and, you know, had worked with that company before. They all knew each other. And obviously we benefited because we made some money for every hour that our guys worked. It worked amazingly well. We did it for about a year and a half. And then the economy got better and the guys all either got hired on or found other jobs. Yeah. And to this date, that's the most money we've ever made in a year.
Wow. The art of the pivot, resilience, that Brad, that story delivers.
Yeah, that story is amazing. So, okay, I just want to make sure I'm hearing this right, Ashley. So you guys preemptively did this, right? Like your husband wasn't actually fired.
No, we did it. Yeah, we were worried he was going to get laid off. So we did that. Yeah, but it ended up he kept his job. It was crazy. So we were looking at losing 100% of our income. And instead, I think quadrupled it.
Wow. I feel like that face I just made was a TikTok.
That is unbelievable. But I mean, so many people think, oh, I can't start a business, right? It's too hard. There's so many things I have to learn. It's going to cost too much money. What did those first couple of days or weeks look like of trying to learn that? And how quickly from that point where you guys had that eyes conversation to when you had this business up and running, like how long was that?
It was probably a month, maybe a little less. I just went online, like, how do you start a business in Arizona? How do you hire employees in Arizona? And I kind of got what I thought was the plan. Like, these are the forms I need. These are the taxes I need to pay and all of this, the licenses that I need. And then I went to the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and I just met with somebody there and said, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I think I need. Did I miss anything? And she kind of filled in the holes for us of what we needed. And then, yeah, we hired everybody, that's the most complicated business I've ever started. I've started several businesses since then, but having to hire W-2 employees is the most complicated part. And we got the contract actually from the company, and we had negotiated our rates with my husband's direct boss. And when I got the contract, it had the rates like pre-filled in, like as an example, and they were $10 an hour more than I had bid. So I just forgot to change those rates. And so we ended up getting an extra 10 bucks an hour.
Well, can I ask you, I mean, this is a sidebar. I wasn't expecting to be talking about how to start a temp agency, but like, you know, you can't not. So what is the billing model for a temp agency? Were you basically making like, so let me preface just a partial understanding here, and I'll give you room to fill it in. I'm assuming your company could not have afford the amount of employees and the costs that came with all these employees, like in the short term. The business was not there to be able to pay them. So that was a high risk. So instead, they wanted to move that relationship towards a contractor relationship where they could scale the hours up and down based on what was coming in. But how did that work for you as a temp agency hiring these? And where did your profit margin come in for handling this, you know, transactional nature of what you're setting up?
Yeah, so we would bill per hour. So for every hour that our guys worked, we would bill, I'll give you the number. It was $55 an hour that we would bill. And then we paid our guys $25 an hour. And then there's other taxes and stuff on top of that. But let's just call that, say, $30 an hour then. So I was making $25 an hour every hour that one of my guys worked. And there is a cash flow problem because you bill at the end of the month. You have to pay these guys weekly, which we hadn't really thought about until it happened. So we did end up taking a home equity line on our house. We ended up, I think the high watermark was like $25,000 that we had extra on the house, but it was all in billable hours. I didn't feel it was a big risk. I knew that they would pay us. It was more just a cash flow issue.
Yeah. Brad, I can see your accountant mind breaking here. I have a more couple questions, but you want to hop in?
It's amazing. So at the most you floated 25K, but like you said, it's a timing issue, whether it's 30, 45, 60 days that the company would pay you. But right, I mean, unless they go out of business,
right,
there's not a huge risk. So I get that. So, okay, so you were paying these guys about $25 or thereabouts, you know, with some additional taxes or whatever, about $30 an hour. I guess two questions. How did that compare to what they were making previously when they were actually W-2 employees of the other company? And did you have to pay them benefits, or was it just, like you said, they're W-2 employees? I actually would have thought they would have been 1099 contractors where you're just paying them per hour. But like, how did that work? Were there additional costs that came along with them?
There's just the normal payroll costs. We had to have workers' comp and unemployment and that kind of stuff, paid the employer portion of their taxes. But we did not provide health insurance or anything like that. And the $25 is about what they were making when they were working, which is where we got that number from. No one quit during the recession. They didn't quit until they were hired back on by the company. And they looked for other jobs, but the market was paying about $15 an hour at that time. So it really worked out really well for everybody.
This is incredible. Okay. Well, we were not planning on going here until we were diving into the setup and realizing, all right, we're coming out, or we're grappling with our own financial crisis right now. And we've talked in the past how we want to continue to highlight the art of the pivot and examples of resilience. I mean, this is it. Talking about a pivot, let's pivot out of creating your own temp agency and into content marketing and blogging specifically. I want to capture a little bit of your journey, because what we just talked about had to do with the 2008-2009 Great Recession. Your blogging journey, I believe, actually started prior to this in 2005. And what I want to do for the remainder of the episode, like all of us right now from where we're sitting, if we knew where the future was headed, where the internet was going, wish that we had started, if we're going to start a business, wish that we had started cultivating an online presence for that business back in 2005. Wow. You know, if you had a time machine, we're going to be saying this exact same thing 10 years from now, 15 years from now, except it's probably even more vital. And you're going to be saying, I wish I had just gotten started. So Ashley, with the experience that you've had working for some of the biggest independent media producers in the country, and your vast experience that you've developed just by doing it the hard way, putting the work in, I want to provide incredible value to the audience and basically pull back the curtain, share the secrets of success, how to rock a blog. You know, this is day zero. How do I rock a blog? We're going to do that right after this. Tell us a little bit more about how and why you decided to start a blog.
Yeah, I started blogging when I was pregnant with my son. I just wanted a way to kind of talk about our family and our experiences. None of my family lives here in Arizona, so it was just a way to kind of share what was going on in our family. And a lot of the moms that I was talking to online all had blogs, and it was for fun. So I did that a few years, and then I came across a personal finance blog, and I was like, oh, people do this? Like, oh yeah, this is my game. And so within 10 minutes of finding that site, I had my own site and I was off to the races.
So you obviously must have had a prior interest in personal finance, right? And also, if I'm doing my math right, it sounds like your temp agency also started sometime in this 2008 area, yep, right? So you're doing this personal finance blog pivot and the temp agency all at the same time, right?
Yeah, they started the personal finance blog in February of 2008, and the temp agency started like at the beginning of 2009. So it had been like a year. But really, the blog, as weird as it is really what led to the temp agency, because I learned this idea of the side hustle and the idea that you can make money outside of a W-2 job. And it seems strange now that that's something you would have to learn to me, because now that's just ingrained in me. But you do. Somebody has to tell you that that's possible. And through blogging is where I learned that. And then I thought, I bet we could do this temp agency thing.
Right. So it was actually asking as a playground for a new skill set, right? And that skill set that you started to develop gave you more confidence to, yeah, all right, well, what else could I do? I could start a blog. Could I start a business, et cetera?
Yeah. And one of the things I talked about on my blog a lot was like strange ways to make money and non-conventional ways to make money. So I really had that mindset of you can make money doing anything. So.
And that is just it, right? It's a mindset. I mean, that's the thing, yes, you know, your quote, you can make money outside of a W-2 job, right? It sounds obvious now, maybe in 2020, when we're all talking about side hustles and such, but in 2005 and 2008, it wasn't altogether obvious, right? It's hard to put yourself back in that time period. But I mean, we all followed the normal narrative then. And it's amazing to me that like starting a simple blog could change everything in your entire life, which is ultimately what has happened.
Oh,
since
yeah, 100% has happened. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have, if I'd never started a blog. I can't even, I'd have to have a job. It would be terrible.
Okay. Well, let's, fair enough. let's talk about that. So your blog is not the most popular blog on the planet. It's not the largest blog on the planet. In fact, I don't even think you still are working on that, at least that initial blog, and maybe even that second blog, I don't think you're putting a whole lot of time into, which for me, you know, like there's a gap there because you've done a lot of work or personal finance sites. Talk about that transition from working on your own blog, the skill set you developed, and how you transitioned into creating a role for yourself on other blogs.
Yeah, I know you're right. My personal blogs never really made much money more than a couple $100 a month. But the skills that I was learning is what was valuable. So I was making friends with other bloggers. I was learning how to do all this stuff. And I met people who have big blogs that were making a ton of money and they needed help. And they were friends of mine. I had contact with them.
Let's pause there. How was this network cultivated?
Through FinCon, mostly conferences. And just, you know, when you're in that world, you just kind of start meeting people and Facebook or just on their blogs, guest posts, comments, you just kind of start building a relationship. But FinCon was really the fire that lit it.
There's two questions here. I want to go to play. I don't want to let either of these go because this is really critical for people to hear. One, the skills, and two, the network. We're going to start with the skills. You said I had friends. I developed this network of people who had blogs that were very profitable and I had the skills they needed. What skills did you cultivate to make yourself and your skill set so attractive to these individuals?
I mean, I knew how to create content. I knew how to write articles. I knew how to work in WordPress. I could think like a blogger, which is not something you can teach. I've hired people to work for me on blogs that didn't have blogging experience, and it's just, it's very mechanical. But when you have your own site, you can see beyond just creating an article, putting it on the website, maybe adding in some affiliate links, and then that's it. Like you understand how to reach through the computer and actually talk to somebody and get them to make changes or take action, that you really have to have your own site to be able to do that. It's not, you can't work for someone else and get that same level of understanding of kind of the whole life cycle of a blog. That makes sense.
No, it does. And I think I would even kind of extrapolate from there and say, instead of, you know, just the quote, I could think like a blogger, it's I could think like a business owner, or I could think like an entrepreneur, right? Like
True. You
weren't just there to do a simple task. Like how you thought you could add value was by thinking like a business owner, right? And that type of person who can be your kind of second in charge, basically, like there's huge value for the business owner from that perspective. And I'm curious, like, how did you initially start? So like you knew these people, right? And you had a network, et cetera, but like, how did you actually approach them? And like, was there any level of like imposter syndrome? Like you had just started and like you said, your blog wasn't that big, but some of their blogs were enormous. Talk us through the mindset and how you approached that first conversation.
Yeah, it didn't start out thinking like, oh, I'm going to go be a freelancer. I just had a friend, we were chatting at FinCon. He was talking about his site and how he could grow it if he had some help. And I said, I can help you. And it was really that simple. And then after FinCon, we connected and, you know, I just kind of started editing some articles for him and things like that. I still say I don't work. I just help my friends with their sites.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, we'll come back to that story because there's an interesting connection there. But I want to go back. I want to stay on the skills just a little bit longer, right? I really think when we say, you know, everybody, and I'm using this term loosely, but everybody should start a blog. I'm not saying that everybody should start a blog because we all need to become or reach a level of success that maybe like a you know, Mr. Money Mustache has seen or a runaway blogger has seen, who's just like their blog is everywhere. But rather, the future is an online future. And the skill sets that are driving the new economy are online skill sets. And a blog is a safe place
for you to cultivate an incredibly valuable skill set, a skill set that they're not really teaching you in school in the same capacity. It's teaching you entrepreneurship. It's teaching you creative thinking. It's teaching you content marketing and more. So Ashley, like if you were to work through the early iterations, you know, to kind of over the years, how you were able to add some nuance and some complexity to that skill set, what is that talent stack that you've cultivated?
Yeah, I agree 100% that starting a blog is a wonderful way to start practicing. Building a blog may make money. If it does, it will take a really long time. But in the meantime, you're learning so many skills, like how to write copy and sales copy and learning how to work in WordPress, which I think 25% of the internet is on WordPress. So if you have that skill, you're huge. How to create a community on social media, how Google works, how Google thinks, and how to get traffic through search engine optimization, affiliate marketing, how to build relationships with affiliates, get signed up, how to market those so people actually use your affiliate links, graphic design. Well, every website needs to be designed. Everybody needs a logo. Everyone needs images. And just getting comfortable working online and communicating online versus in person. It is a completely different skill set. And I can always tell when I work with someone who's not worked online very much, it's just kind of hinky. It really is a skill set that you need to develop.
Okay, obviously an amazing, amazing list, but you got me right there at the end about like, what jumps out to you about someone who hasn't worked online? And, you know, I guess the extension of that question is like, those people ideally can learn their own skills, right? Like they don't have to think of that as, hey, this is, I don't know anything about online. Like I've got to move forward because like you said, the future is the internet. The future is everything digital, right? So help those people out by helping yourself out essentially here.
What we're looking for is the definition of hanky. And I went to Urban Dictionary and they said that it's a word that's used to describe a situation positively or negatively. So that basically leaves it wide open.
The communication is always a little off. For example, if I give someone an assignment, I just want to hear back, got it, or something like that, just so that I know. It's so much different than calling someone on the phone or seeing them in person saying, hey, can you do this? When you have someone looking them in the eye, you know that they heard you, but you want to make sure that your message didn't get lost in their inbox or whatever. When stuff's finished, just let me know it's finished. Just things like that, or how to invoice. Don't send me a Word document. Like send me a PDF. Like it's just those little things that say I'm an amateur. Those are all skills that are completely learnable. Absolutely. And the more you do it, obviously, the better you get at it.
So maybe Ashley could come up with a list of telltale signs here. That would actually be really valuable, I think.
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
Okay. Wow. High value coming at you under the deceptive name Pinky. All right. So Ashley, like when you're learning anything, you're kind of swimming around in the dark, trying to figure out what works. And a lot of times you learn from what doesn't work. And over time you iterate that and it gets better over time. There is, though, I mean, if you know where to look, there is a list of things that if you do them a certain way, it will elevate the bar. And you find that a lot of the bloggers and writers and, you know, people in the online space that are writing high quality content, they are following some similar tactics. So let's say you have a list of these. You're a new blogger. You have a new website that you've created. You're starting to cultivate this list and you realize the value of expanding your network, but nobody knows who you are. Like this is effectively maybe day 10, day 20, day 30, you're 1 year and whatever, but you realize at this point you need to expand your network. Walk me through what that looks like now. And I guess we could do it through the lens of personal finance, which you're obviously much more comfortable with, but maybe even outside of that niche, what does it look like to expand your network and create these opportunities?
To just meet other bloggers, to expand your network to other bloggers. Conferences are probably the best way. And really my tip when you go to conferences, even if you're a freelancer looking for work, you've decided you want to be a freelance writer or a web designer or whatever, just go to conferences and just look to make friends. Don't necessarily look for work. If someone says, I'm looking for XYZ, that would be a different story. But just go and meet people, put names to faces, and just kind of start a relationship and then email them when you get home and say, hey, you had mentioned you were looking for a web designer or a freelance writer or whatever. I'd love to talk about that with you. If you can't afford to go to conferences or say people aren't traveling for some reason, there's tons of Facebook groups online for bloggers. I'm in several just for new bloggers, but those are great ways to start talking to bloggers and just getting to know people and asking questions and giving people answers if you can help them with something they're struggling with. And again, that's a great way to get work if you're looking to be a freelancer, is just try to help people, answer people's questions, serve wherever you can, and eventually you'll find a way to get paid for that.
Yeah, Ashley, that hits on so many themes that I saw in my own kind of initial stages of creating personal finance blogs. Like, I would agree, conferences are great, but it doesn't have to be limited to conferences, certainly. I think, you know, back maybe 6 or 7 years ago, like, blog commenting was maybe slightly more important, but it seems quaint now. But, like, I mean, I became genuine friends with, like, Carl from 1500 Days and Brandon from Mad Scientist just by commenting on their blogs and then eventually emailing and, you know, like you said, seeing people at FinCon. But a lot of it just starts with being genuine, yeah, right? Like, people can tell when you're trying to be that kind of scammy networker. Like, nobody wants to hang out with that person. Nobody wants to help that person. Nobody wants to work with that person, yeah, right? Like, so be genuine, I think, is a huge way to start. And then, like you said, provide value.
Yeah, social media is a great way to start hanging out with bloggers. Just start by sharing their stuff. You know, if you're on Twitter and you see their stuff, just retweet it or share it on Facebook, give the like on Instagram, all that stuff. Bloggers pay attention to that because that's how we are growing our site. So if every single time I publish something on Instagram, one particular person always likes it, I'm going to remember that. And if I ever get an email from them, I'm going to say, oh yeah, I know this person. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. Someone jumps to mind immediately, and probably all three of us know him. It's Josh Overmeyer. You know, he's a great friend of the Chooseify and Fi community and all of tons of personal finance bloggers. And I mean, at least at the beginning, he certainly didn't have any of his own blog, but he just became friends with people and he's just a good human being. And now, yeah, like, I met him at FinCon a couple of years at Camp Fi, and he's just a good guy. And it started with just, like you said, just become friends with people online, share their stuff, and just be genuine. I think that's a great example. And I mean, I would go to bat for Josh Overmeyer in a heartbeat, right? Yeah.
Like, I love how much time you spent on the one example of Josh Overmeyer.
But well,
it's
a perfect example. Yeah.
That's fantastic. JoshOvermeyer.com. I'll have a link in the show notes for today's episode. Absolutely. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. You're right. That is the perfect example of that. So I think it was important just to set some context here for the skill set that you developed, the network that you developed, to add some flavor to that. We actually met at FinCon. It was very much a situation that you described in terms of what she's saying. This is actually true. This is how her network was built. This is how I found Ashley. We've been working with her for 2.5 years. She's the editor in chief here at ChooseFI. She's been the blog editor for some of the largest independent blogs in the country. And what I've seen her do on our website has been just absolutely amazing. Carrying the identity that we feel like we've been able to have on the podcast, to be able to have that same level of connection with the audience via the website and really turn these articles, just bring them to life, has been unbelievable. Ashley, I know you have just recently created and are launching a course called Hit Publish. I want to give you the floor just to tell us a little bit, what's the inspiration for that and who would benefit from it?
Yeah, I really think that being able to create great content for your blog is the absolute number one most important skill you can have as a blogger. You cannot grow a blog without amazing content. It can't happen. Everything else about your blog could be perfect, but if your content isn't any good and isn't connecting with your reader, it will never go anywhere. Flip that upside down. Your content could be wonderful. Everything else about your site is hinky, and it's still going to be great. It's still going to be fine. You're still going to get somewhere with it. The content is the present, the gift inside. Everything else about it, the social media, the SEO, the design, everything else is the wrapping paper. It's how you get somebody inside. So being able to create content is extremely important. And I think that it's the skill that is the most lacking. And I never hear new bloggers asking, how do I create better content? Which is the question that they need to be asking to grow their site. So that's why I created the course, to address this, I think, very lacking issue in the blogging world. And any blogger would benefit from this. I've had, as I've been rolling this out and testing it, I've had experienced bloggers taking it. And it's my favorite when I have somebody who's been blogging for 2, 3, 4, 5 years says, I learned so much. I'm like, thank you. That's perfect. So any blogger, I think, would benefit from the course.
What about someone who hasn't started their blog yet?
The course doesn't go over the mechanics of starting a blog. So it doesn't teach you, you know, how to set up WordPress, how to get your theme on there and things like that. So it does come from the point of somebody who at least has a website on the internet.
But Ashley, I mean, that shouldn't be a huge impediment, right? I mean, somebody could actually learn how to start a blog in a day or two. I know we have an amazing resource at chooseavi.com/blog that walks you through every single step. Yep. But I mean, I was an accountant doing corporate state tax returns, and I learned how to start a blog in like 3 days. So
right, yeah.
I think, right, the key is creating great content. And honestly, I would not have thought that that was a learnable skill. So like, I'd love to hear, what are like the first couple of things that you teach people? Because this is massive, right? Like creating the actual content that people want to read, that they're compelled to read, that they're compelled to come back. That is everything with a blog.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing we do is talk about who your audience is and help you define exactly who your reader is, because you can't connect with everybody on the internet. You're going to have a certain reader that you're looking to help. And then we talk about narrowing your niche. So you end up with, I help blank with blank, right? I help teachers get out of debt, or I help pet owners take better pictures of their pets. Whatever your niche is, whoever you want to help, you need to get it that crystal clear. You also want to find out who your competitors are in that space. And I say competitors, that sounds adversarial. It's not, as we've talked about, other bloggers are going to be your best friends. But you kind of want to understand where your site fits into the internet in your niche. And then we really get into creating content. Defining your reader takeaway is absolutely key to every single article. You want to understand what you want the reader to think or do after they've read your article. And so many articles that I read from new bloggers don't have this. There's no real direction to the article. It's just kind of, here's my personal story, and I hope you get something out of it. But you need to start with the end in mind. And then we talk about SEO and how to use Google to make your article better. Google, if you Google a keyword, it tells you, here are the top 10 articles on this topic. You don't need to dig very deeply for that. So you want to read all those, see what they're talking about, and figure out how to make your article better. I give you a bunch of free tools that you can use to do keyword research and what to look for. How do you even know when you found a keyword that's going to be good for you? And then how to use that keyword to make your article better. And then we give them some tips on how to make connections with your reader, how to actually motivate them to take action, whether that be to take your advice or to use your affiliate link. And then we talk about how to actually edit your article. I mention a bunch of free tools in there. These are all tools that I actually use. You get my actual editing checklist that I use on every single article and I give to all of my writers. And all the little things, I call them the razzle dazzle, that you have to put into a blog post to make it unique and really stand out and make it really the best on the internet for that particular topic.
I love that. The razzle dazzle course.
Yes.
So I think this would be actually a lot of fun. I'd love to kind of take an idea from inception to execution. And what I was thinking is, how about you and Brad do a webinar? If you want to be a part of it, you can go to the webinar, register for the webinar. And what if the audience actually voted on like a keyword or an idea or a topic, and we figure out how to apply this method, the razzle dazzle method, to this keyword and create this kind of end to end, see what actually would go into it. First of all, Ashley and Brad, would you be up for that?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, awesome. And I tell you what, I think, Ashley, I talked to you about this offline. We'll give everybody who attends the webinar a copy of your editing checklist as well. So to our audience, if that interests you, you're listening to this on Monday. We're going to be doing the webinar this week, likely going to be on Thursday. You can register for the webinar at chooseify.com/hitpublish, H-I-T, publish. And for those of you, I get this, those of you who could be listening to this 6 months from now, there will be a replay available. Again, just go to chooseify.com/hitpublish. Ashley, if someone's listening to this, like one final thought, one final takeaway, one last bit of advice that you would give someone, an aspiring blogger, writer, or someone that's trying to retool or reskill to help make sure that they're future-proof, what would you say?
Yeah, now is the time. With the coronavirus, we have seen all kinds of businesses have to take to the internet to make money. I know Brad talked about his CrossFit trainer. You guys talked about that the other day. And she doesn't know how to market her stuff online. She's a CrossFit trainer and she's excellent at it. She needs somebody who is going to come in and help her build a website and figure out all the tech behind it and maybe get some articles out on the internet. There are so many business owners who have now discovered that their businesses are viable online, and every single one of those is going to need help to do that. So these skills just continue to get more and more valuable. So now is definitely the time to, if you have any interest in this, it's time.
All right, my friends, I couldn't agree more. Every single business in the country needs to be moving to an online space, one where they don't have to worry about physical proximity. It doesn't mean that you don't have a business that involves physical proximity. It means that your boundaries are That's a perceived limitation that doesn't really exist. Your future involves moving your business online or figuring out a way to scale beyond your zip code. For more information on this webinar or for Ashley's course, to put this skill set in your toolbox, go to choosefi.com/hitpublish. One word, choosefi.com/hitpublish. All right, my friends, stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribed. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.